Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to an edition of WrestleChat Radio's Backlash Review. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 90 minutes, we will be attempting to decipher exactly what the hell happened last night at WWE's Backlash at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you have a clue to what might have happened at last night's Backlash, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room and take your guesses there as well. I'm stumped. You know, I guess I was expecting something very, very, very different than what we got from the WWE, and I spent the greater part of an hour after the pay-per-view and most of the morning really trying to decipher what is it, what direction is the WWE attempting to go in? Are we just treading water until the coronavirus is behind us in maybe 2027 or 2036 or whenever they decide it's okay for you to breathe air again? Or are we starting a new chapter in wrestling that's going to be very different from the wrestling we once knew and loved, or what is it exactly that the WWE is trying to do? And of course, my first thought was, well, they're wrapping up the loose ends of what was the Paul Heyman era, I guess, and they're going to attempt to go forward with a Bruce Pritchard era. But that's not it. I mean, listen, a lot of this wasn't Paul Heyman's baby. He may have started some of these feuds and things, but what happened last night was a little bit of a mystery. Because when you have no fans and you have the ability to reshoot anything you want or edit out, because this is all pre-taped, edit out anything you want, and there are still botch after botch after botch after botch during matches left in, it really makes me wonder how hard you're trying. Really does. Now, I don't know what to tell you. This whole pay-per-view was advertised as the greatest match ever. And I have to tell you this, had it not been for that final match, this pay-per-view was an abject and total disaster. And as luck would have it, even the savior match, the feature match, turned out to be an abject and total disaster because Edge, during the filming of it, was injured. He tore his tricep, and they're talking about 4 to 8 months rehab time. 4 to 8 months. So the WWE's string of great luck continues. And some of it they bring on themselves. Some of it they bring on themselves. So I guess we'll just start at the beginning, because where else to start? Number one, let me just say this. The pre-show was so annoying that anybody who could sit through it should actually receive like a few months free of the WWE Network or something, because in my lifetime, I can't imagine a more annoying pre-show or a more annoying pre-show panel. If it's not Booker T and Layfield being bad enough, it's those other two, Peter, whatever his name is, and the other guy who you know, attempt to sell you Ginsu knives. That's the only thing I can think of when I hear this guy. His voice is like that. And, oh, well, we're just going around and around. It's terrible. Unlistenable. absolutely unlistenable. It reminds me of a guy that's trying to sell you a timeshare condo in the Poconos. Instead, he's trying to pitch you a pay-per-view. But if you can get by that, then we're left with the smack in the face of Apollo Crews' title has pre-show written all over it. That's nice. That's good. So it's Apollo Crews versus Andrade at ringside. Of course, Zelina Vega and Angel Garza is at ringside. So Kevin Owens has decided to come down in case anybody says something he disagrees with, and he can formally issue a complaint. But actually what he's doing is, supposedly, I'm evening up the odds because Angel Garza is no angel. Yeah, there's a clever line. What happened to Kevin Owens? I wish I knew. Anyway, after what I would consider really about a half-hearted Raw match type thing, Angel Garza goes to interfere. Kevin Owens comes out and takes care of Angel Garza. And Apollo Crews is still your champion after a clean win on Andrade. Well, here's the thing. I'm okay with Apollo Crews still being the champion. But if you think that's a fitting place for this match, or that this match was a good match or a good representation of what your lesser championship matches should be, I don't even know why Zelina Vega is even bothering anymore. They took away one person from her stable, and the other two are ineffectual, horrible. How long ago was it that we said Angel Garza made the most impressive debut on Raw, maybe in the decade, maybe the entire decade? And what's he being used as now? Nothing. Nothing. Cannon fodder for eventually his loss to Kevin Owens, which is coming. At least this match wasn't filled with botches like most of the other matches were. But to be in the pre-show and to be, in my opinion, this was it's a Raw match. That's all this was. There was nothing special about it. Nothing screamed pay-per-view quality match. It was just, Mike, a Raw match that they put on a pay-per-view pre-show.
It really was, and that's the thing. And look, we said it before. You said it. I didn't get a chance to agree with you there because the phone cut out on you on Sunday. But you said it on Sunday that what's his name, Apollo Crews was a Paul Heyman guy, right? He was one of the guys that was making a point to push. Now that Paul Heyman is gone, you would have thought that the title would have switched hands, because this is not a Vince McMahon guy. Vince McMahon isn't high on you. And basically, Bruce Pritchard is a prophecy, right? So
pretty much.
So you would have thought that he would have lost the match, but he didn't. So that's another thing that doesn't make sense about this.
No, well, look, a lot of things all night long did not make sense. Obviously, Vince McMahon decided he doesn't want Andrade to have that title. There's someone else in the wings for that title. I'm not sure who that's going to be. Maybe it's Kevin Owen. They started that thing between Apollo Crews and Kevin Owen. And, you know, half of me thought to myself, maybe we're going to get some situation by which Andrade is going to win because Apollo Crews is distracted by Kevin Owen. And Apollo Crews is going to take that umbrage to that and say, you did that on purpose. You weren't trying to help me. You tried to distract me. Now I lost my belt, and we were going to get maybe a heel Apollo Crews, which they were teasing for a little while. But we didn't get anything like that. We didn't get anything like that. We got a Raw match on a pay-per-view, and I know it's a pre-show match, and I know pre-show matches aren't meant to light it up, but then why is this the pre-show match? Why would this be the pre-show match? If anything, then make the women's tag team title match the pre-show match. If anything. Because really, what was that? But let's stick with this for a minute, Todd. Yeah, I'm underwhelmed with this. They're not letting Andrade show his chops. Apollo Crews is doing his normal six or eight moves, and Zelina Vega is doing her, you know, I can't look thing, which she does 17 times a match, and this is getting ugly.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Zelina Vega and everything, and it just like a big mess right there, not letting Andre get really do his offense, doing his chops or anything. It's all Apollo Crews right there last night. Nothing but Apollo Crews in that match.
And the thing is, Andretti is so good, and there's so much you could do with him. I'm not saying let him win. If you don't want him to win, fine. But can we have a match worthy of the belt? And not just a gimmick match to set up Angel Garza and Kevin Owens? Because that's kind of what this was. The WWE has an annoying habit of taking their champions and using their champions to set up things irrelevant to the championship. And they did it all night long. They did it all night long. So let's go to the women's tag team match, which really meant nothing. Once again, the women's tag team title meant nothing. All this is the next chapter in Bayley and Sasha have their little falling out. That's all this was about. This really wasn't about the belt. You can make it about both things if you're clever enough. The WWE is not clever enough. You could have made this a really hard-fought match for the belt with the teaser that Bayley and Sasha are getting close to a problem. But you didn't even try. You're just like, look, this match has nothing to do with anything except Bayley and Sasha. You guys are just extras in their movie. That's all it's about. It's not about the belt. It's not about you. It's not about anything. It's just about them. And that's what this match was. It's exactly what this match was. And to be quite honest, it's another Raw quality match. It had some botches in it, had some bad spots in it. But Mike, once again, it didn't feel like it was about the women's tag team championship so much as it was just to further the story between Bayley and Sasha.
Right. That's what this exactly felt like. Even though the match was an all right match, And it could have been about, like you said, it could have been about much, much more than that. I mean, it could have been about a possible falling out between Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, you know? I mean, you know, that's what it could have been about, too. But, again, like you said, the WWE just can't seem to multitask, you know?
No. They can't. They just can't. And Mike, I'm not even sure they want to anymore. I think we might have lost Mike again. Anyway, Todd, what do you think? You know, again, I think it's just about Bayley and Sasha and their little feud and not much about the actual tag team championships.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You're right on about they're being, like, they're extras, like, in a movie, like props in the background or extra people. It was
right.
Not just about, it's not for the tag belts, it was just for over Bayley and Sasha, and one of them is going to turn on the other sooner or later, especially Bayley. She's going to end up turning on Sasha Banks down the road in a couple months or so.
That's all this was about. That's all this was about. So let's get to Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus. And if there are ever two people, with the possible exception of Lex Luger and Tatanka, who have less chemistry in the ring than Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, I don't know who that would be. You want to talk about a very average match. Now, it's not that they didn't give their all. It's just that it wasn't a good match. It just was not a good match. Jeff Hardy blew a spot on top of the buckle, almost fell. I don't know whether he was exhausted or he lost his balance. I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on. The whole gimmick of the match is Sheamus is basically just dusting Jeff Hardy, but he can't finish him off because Jeff Hardy has too much heart. And then Hardy mounts a little bit of a comeback, goes a little too far with his high-flying, pays for it with a bro kick on the outside, gets thrown back in, gets the bro kick on the inside, 1, 2, 3, Sheamus wins. It's not that the right person didn't win. It's that the match was not interesting at all. And you went through a lot of trouble for a match with very little payoff. That's where the issue is with me. If you're going to have these two athletes go through all the machinations that they did with rigging a car accident that actually ended up hurting Elias. Elias is out for a while with a torn pec. If you're going to go through all of that nonsense and the two performers in the ring can only come up with that, it seems like a lot of trouble for very little payoff. An awful lot of trouble for very little payoff. So what's next with Jeff Hardy? Are we going to get another match out of these guys? Jesus, let's hope not. Because they have no chemistry. By this time, we're three matches in, and I'm not lying to you, I'm bored. I'm actually bored. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. This better pick up, because at this stage of the game, this is like a really bad episode of Raw that you would say, eh, not so great, you know? And this is a pay-per-view. This is a major event, supposedly. And at this stage, Mike, I'm looking at it saying, it's not even a good Raw.
Right, it's not even an F version of Raw. I mean, we've seen an F version of Raw, and this isn't it. You know, right?
And it gets worse. Yeah, absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. There's just nothing there to like sink your teeth into. Nothing at all. Did Jeff Hardy do anything that you're like, oh my God, what a risk he took? No. Did Jeff Hardy look like a guy who was trying to right the wrongs that were done to him by Sheamus? No. He did not. Jeff Hardy didn't look any different than if he was a guy who was just fighting a guy who was a contender and he's trying to work his way up the ladder. I saw no bitterness there. I saw no anger. I saw no, my God, I'll do whatever I have to do to get my hands on this guy. If someone had done that to you, would you not be pulling out all the stops? Would you not be brawling on the floor? Would you not be pulling the steel chairs out? And would you not really be trying to teach Sheamus a lesson and not so much just trying to do your fancy little whisper in the wind things? Come on. I mean, come on. So a bitter feud turns into a boring wrestling match. We're in here just competing like it was no feud at all. Like nobody's mad at nobody, just two guys fighting. Why? You went through all of this stuff. He tried to frame you and send you to jail. Literally. And that's the best you can muster. That's the most energy and the most passion and the most violent you can manage to muster yourself, huh? Well, that's inadequate, and that looked stupid. Okay, totally stupid. We see where Jeff Hardy's career is going. He's not even able to beat Sheamus on a pay-per-view, a lousy pay-per-view. Sheamus is going to get the run. Jeff Hardy's not. I don't know what the hell's going on. And I really don't care because neither one of these people are exciting me in their comeback at all, Todd. Oops, I'm sorry. Let me go to Todd here. I got the wrong guy. Let's go to Todd.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was just like not really a match with just guys just fighting, and you know, it's like not really a feud. Like you said, they don't have chemistry with those two. Those two
don't
have chemistry. It's just ruined right there. That storyline angle is ruined from the get-go.
I agree with that. They just don't have chemistry. I don't know whether it's their style or whatever it is, but it just doesn't gel, Mike, and they just end up looking like both guys are just trying to get their spots in.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, and I just don't understand. I mean, I'm going to say this. I think it's time. I know they have this big, probably have this big plan for Jeff Hardy, but I think it's time that they cut him. You know, I mean, I don't know what they have planned for him and all, but I think it's time that they think about setting his contract short.
You know, I hate to agree with you on it, but I don't see anything out of Jeff Hardy. He can't even keep his balance on the ropes. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not implying that it has anything to do with chemical, you know, whatever. He's just, his body's been beat down. He's getting older. He didn't take great care of himself, you know, let's face it. And I think now he's above his pay grade in what he can do. And what's ending up happening is he's trying to do the things he did 10, 12 years ago, and his body's saying, yeah, no. Aside from that, it's starting to look a little... Sometimes you have to reinvent yourself, you know? Just because times change, and now he's a 40-something guy with, like, lacy arm outfit and paint. It's just weird, and it's just not working. He doesn't look tough. He doesn't look hard to beat. He looks like a skinny, you know, quasi-athletic guy who's just in over his head, and I just don't see it. And if he's in with the right person, if he's in with an AJ Styles, if he's in with a Ricochet, if he's in with somebody like that, you might get something good out of him. Sheamus ain't the guy to carry a guy like Jeff Hardy. And he didn't carry him. And it exposed that Jeff Hardy's got a lot of weaknesses. And you put an awful lot of effort and an awful lot of TV time into a match that was a snoozer. Speaking of snoozers, and this is where things are going to get good, because from this point on, I care about the outcomes of these matches. Up to now, I really didn't. Asuka versus Nia Jax. Nia Jax comes out like we interrupted her watching a, you know, Oprah. About as interested in the match as I don't know who, or at least that's the way she appears. And I say to myself, well, this is probably the moment. You see, here's the thing. Asuka didn't win the belt. She won Money in the Bank, but she really didn't win the belt. So she was gifted the belt. She was handed the belt. And since she was handed the belt, she has lost to Charlotte Flair. And not much else. So she has to have her moment where people say, well, she's a deserving champion, though. She may have been handed the belt, but she's a deserving champion. And I figured this is the moment, because Nia Jax has nothing to offer. She's in the doghouse, according to everybody that I've spoken to. And Asuka's on her way up because Vince McMahon thinks she's, you know, great and charismatic and all that kind of stuff. Well, now all of a sudden that's all been turned around. And now I'm hearing, well, you know, maybe Vince isn't as high on Asuka as we thought. A lot of this was Paul Heyman, you know, putting that into Vince's mind. And maybe it's the truth. Because Asuka, who should have won this match handily and cemented her place as, I may not have won the belt from Becky Lynch, but I deserve the belt because, look, I took out Nia Jax, can't take out Nia Jax at a pay-per-view that already had a build-up, can't take out Nia Jax. Count out. Double count out. Not even a count out victory for Asuka, a count out. Double count out. That's the end to your women's title match. Your Raw women's title match. That's the end to that match. Because Nia Jax is such a valuable player that we, of course, want to see this again. And you have made Asuka now officially look like she was gifted a belt and she's really not the best person in the division. She's lost to Charlotte Flair, and she has not been able to beat Nia Jax. So you are booking Asuka to be, yeah, you're the champion, but you're nowhere near the best person. The WWE does that all the time. Yeah, we book you weaker than actually the people around you. So you may have the belt, but these people are obviously better. What? What? This was a highly disappointing match. Now, I knew they weren't going to have a good match. Because I'll wait if you want to give me the last really good Nia Jax match there was. I'll wait for that. And even with Asuka, it wasn't going to happen. And I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I thought it would be better than this. Because what I thought they would do is at least use this opportunity to solidify Asuka as the top person in the women's division, and they didn't even bother to do that. Instead, we get a lame countout after, I don't know, 8 minutes, maybe 8 minutes. All I know is Nia Jax wasn't even sweating, and she sweats just walking down to the ring, so it wasn't very long. And it's just highly disappointing. I mean, I sit here and say, this is your championship quality match? You think that's acceptable? You have booked 5 title matches tonight. And so far, we have had 3. And all 3 of them have blown. The first one, because you didn't give it enough time or enough actual reverence and made it just a little short, raw kind of match. The second one, because you gave no credit to the other teams. It was just all about Sasha and Bayley and what might happen. The storyline had nothing to do with the belts. It had everything to do with their relationship. And the third one, because you won't even let Asuka go over on somebody when she just barely won the belt and hasn't gotten over on anybody. As a matter of fact, her record now is no wins, 2 losses, and a draw in three matches. That's a great record for you for your Raw Women's Champion, isn't it? I can't figure this. This one baffled me because there is no way this helps Asuka at all. Not at all. And I don't know how this helps Nia Jax, who for the most of the match just looked like a crash test dummy. Mike, I don't know what to say about this. Because this one really bothered me because it makes me think that they don't think as highly of Asuka as I thought they did.
Right, and that's the thing. And another thing is this. The way Asuka wrestled the match is wrestle. You would think that even at her late, Asuka's like 38 years old, but she's still smaller than Nia Jax, and she still can out-quick her and out-speed her. You would have thought that instead of just going toe-to-toe with her or wrestling her all the time, you would have thought, oh, she'd have, you know, a couple strikes from different directions, maybe something off the top rope, maybe this, that, or the other. And to tire, you know, we know that Nia Jax isn't in great shape, right? So,
right.
We know that her cardio isn't there. So you would have thought that the goal for Asuka is to tire Nia Jax out, and to that extent, out quicker, you know? But that's not how they had her wrestling the match.
No, see, that's the problem. That's a very astute point, and I'll tell you why, because it leads me to believe that it was such a poor booked match that, again, I don't know if they think that highly of Asuka. If you're going to book that match, my assumption would be that Nia Jax starts manhandling Asuka, throws her around the ring like a rag doll for a couple of minutes, 3-4 minutes. And then Asuka starts that comeback where it looks like Nia Jax is out of gas and Asuka's doing all the quick stuff off the ropes and the quick kicks and the quick chops and the things she does so well, flying around the ring and doing X, Y, and Z. And Nia Jax is tired and worn out and whatever. You didn't even do that. It's almost like they said to Asuka, listen, this girl's not safe. Go out there and don't do anything that would be even remotely dangerous. Nothing. Just tie her up in the octopus hold, tie her up in an arm bar, tie her up in a leg lock, a headlock. You know, don't do too much because we don't want you injured. So just kind of be delicate. If this is what you have to do in order to get Nia Jax limped through a match, why is she on the roster? If this is the best you can do, that's pathetic. Do you think that the Charlotte Flair Oscar match wasn't a million times better than this, and it wasn't even for the belt? So what changed? Only one participant changed, and it wasn't Oscar. So now we see what ends up happening is you can't work a good match with her. It's not possible to work a good match with her. So they end up doing these ridiculous finishes, a double count out in a women's title match, and you know what's going to happen. Probably tonight they have their rematch. And let me guess, maybe Charlotte Flair will interfere. And we'll get some kind of a three-way set up for Extreme Rules. I have mercy on me. I thought this was the point where you were going to bring Asuka back to being that dominant force. Because we all know where the money is, but the money's down the road. Now, she's got a lot of other people she could fight. Shayna Baszler, Charlotte Flair. She's got people she can fight. But the money down the road is Asuka Becky Lynch one more time. With the mutual respect being there. Okay? With Asuka and Becky Lynch, neither one of them being the bad guy. With Asuka saying, you handpicked me because you knew I was thought I was the best. And I know that you're my toughest opponent. And we're going to find out who deserves the belt. And that's the way it should be. And then these two can have a really good match a year from now. But in the meantime, you got Shayna Baszler, you got some other people, but she's got to start out strong. She just won the belt, and I'm telling you, she hasn't won a match. She hasn't won a match since Becky Lynch handed her the belt. That's your champion? That's who you're trying to promote? Did you do that with Brock Lesnar? No. It's just pathetic, Todd. I mean, I just don't understand where they're coming from with this at all.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when that match ended, a double count out. It was just a ridiculous finish right there. And like you said, I would have like Nia Jax get disqualified to lose the match and have Asuka keep the belt and retain it. But a count out, that's kind of weak right there.
A double count out. And while they're out there and it's getting to be 7, I'm like, Nia Jax better hurry. She's going to take 3 seconds to get in the ring. And then I realize, Jesus, they're going to let it end this way. They're actually going to let it end this way. Awful. Now, for the people who didn't see the pre-show, Miz and Morrison came out and replayed half of their music video, which actually was really, really good and actually was one of the better things on the show. I like it when you can utilize unique ways to put somebody over, you know, and these two guys doing their best to do like a ridiculous boy band version of, you know, Braun Strowman's Gotta Go was actually pretty funny. And it was actually pretty solid. Somebody put some decent amount of work in that. Okay, as a musician, I could tell you, you know, they went in the studio, they had to do X, Y, and Z. They put a decent amount of work into that. So good for them. The match itself? Again, I mean, what do we got here? We got another, we got a SmackDown match. I realize you're trying to limp Braun Strowman across the finish line to the Fiend, but my God. My God. Nobody's taking his championship reign seriously, and it's your fault again. You have no contender, so now you've got to go against a tag team. And at the last minute, they changed the rule to, well, whoever pins him, they're the champion. Okay, well, you would think that the Miz and Morrison, who are super, super, supposed to be super, super smart, would say, well, here's what we'll do then. Anytime we go down for the pin, both of us will pin them. We'll both lay on them. They'll have to give it to both of us. No, instead, the Miz pulls Morrison off. And then realizes, what did I do? And then it's too late. And a very short title match comes to an end with Braun Strowman power slamming Morrison and getting the 1-2-3. And who cares? Really, who cares? This match was so irrelevant that even the Performance Center people weren't popping for it. And they're paid to pop for it. They're literally paid to stand there and pop for it, and they were like, "Wow, there's another championship match, huh?" So let's see how you're faring with your championship matches. Andrade and Apollo Crews, raw quality at best, too short, furthered nothing, out the window. Women's Tag Team Championship, just a vehicle for Sasha and Bayley. The other four participants really had zero to do with it, out the window. Obviously, Asuka and Nia Jax, double count out the window. And now we have the SmackDown the champion in there, and it's just a dumb gimmick match. That's all it is. It's just a dumb gimmick match. None of these feel like championship matches. Did those belts feel important at any time during any of those matches? The answer is no. So how do you consider that a victory if none of these belts feel important? Not one of these belts feel remotely important being defended last night. Not one of them thus far. I just, you know, Mike, I don't know what to say, because if this is the new era, it's not getting off to a great start.
Right, whereas, I know this is a WWE show here, whereas you look at AEW, every one of those belts, even that TNT championship, you know, feel important. That's the difference.
Yeah, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with it. So we get Drew McIntyre. Well, let me go to Todd here. Todd, does Braun Strowman really feel like a champion to you, or does he feel like a placeholder?
I think he's not. I don't feel he's a champion to me. I think he's just a traditional champion until Bray Wyatt.
Transitional,
comes back.
Yeah.
Until Bray Wyatt comes back. I think it's that kind of champion, like a traditional paper champion type.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, transitional champion. But here's the deal. Did we get anything more from the hacker? No. I thought that was going to be a part of the Braun Strowman thing. No. So we didn't get that. We didn't get anything with The Fiend or Bray Wyatt or anything. So we didn't get that. We didn't get anything. We literally got nothing thus far. Thus far, it's a really poor Raw or SmackDown. That's all it is. Now to add insult to injury, MVP is backstage ordering 600,542 bottles of champagne for two people, supposedly, and saying, well, you know, I'm going to celebrate Bobby Lashley's big victory tonight, so I need a whole bunch of champagne, and I need this, and I need that, which is the exact same thing as flashing up a great big giant blurb that says he's not winning, he's not winning, he's not winning, he's not winning. Why did you add that? Why did you have to add that? Because when you add that, you jump the shark and you tell everybody he's not winning. You wouldn't add that if he was winning. So now we know he's not winning. Now you've clearly showed us Bobby Lashley's not winning tonight. But, oh no, hold my beer. Then Lana comes in and he says, listen, I'm not the one who said you can't be at ringside, so you need to talk to your husband about that. Again, why don't you just flash up a great big blurb that says she's coming to ringside, she's coming to ringside, she's coming to ringside, she's coming to ringside, because that's what you did. It's exactly what you did. And Corey Graves, twice last night, gave away the ending. Literally gave away the ending twice. And said, well, you know, the only way that Sheamus could possibly lose is if he toys around with Jeff Hardy, and could possibly Jeff Hardy then might come back. And then you already knew, well, Jeff Hardy's coming back in a minute. He's going to toy around with him, but he's not going to win. And then he did it again. I forget which one, but he basically gave away the ending. But this is beyond the pale. The minute you have MVP on the phone at a pay-per-view, not on Raw the week before, or you know, where you could say, well, that's how much confidence he has. No, that night, backstage, he's saying, I want all these champagne, I'm having a big party. Again, that's the dead giveaway. Lashley's not winning. Then you have Lana come out and you have him say that, oh, well, you know, you can't be at ringside, but it's not my fault. That's your husband. You go talk to your husband about that. And that's the same thing as saying she's coming down to ringside. So now we not only know he's losing, but we know she's coming down to ringside and costing him that loss, which I told you was going to happen when they first announced this match 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I said on this show, I'll save you the trouble of watching the match. Bobby Lashley's going to be on the verge of victory. Lana's going to come down unexpectedly. She's going to cause a distraction, and Bobby Lashley's going to lose. That's exactly what I said was going to happen. That's exactly what happened. That's how predictable this match was. But as predictable as it was from the outset, they still gave it away. Maybe it's not predictable enough. Maybe we should make it more predictable. Wow. And then as a last-ditch effort to try to make it not predictable, you have Lashley attack Drew before the bell rings and put them in the full Nelson. And the more that they sell that, oh, he can't come back from this, the more you're saying, okay, well, he's going to win. I mean, that's just maddening. That's just maddening. That's just really, really, really bad booking. And so what happens? Lana comes down, and here's the thing that really bothers me the most. Could you have a reason that Lana comes down? There could be a couple of things. Maybe MVP goes to help Lashley, and Drew reverses it so he trips the wrong guy. So Lana comes down to say, what are you doing? You're screwing up my husband's title shot. At least that makes sense. Or MVP gets knocked out or knocked down, and Lana says, well, he needs somebody at ringside, so I'll come down. There has to be a reason. She just walks down, jumps up on the ring apron, and babbles something about you cheated? I don't even know what the hell is going on. And then Lashley stops short of hitting her, and then literally gets bounced into her so lightly it would not have knocked a fly off a piece of friggin' sugar. And MVP catches this massive 100-pound woman and falls down as if he's been shot out of by a cannonball. And we get the Claymore kick, 1, 2, 3. Once again, undermining the championship. This is about Drew McIntyre and the fact that, my God, he took out a guy in Bobby Lashley who they were promoting as a big deal. No, that's not what happened at all. He got lucky, and because of a distraction, he was able to beat Bobby Lashley. So here we go with another booking where, well, the champion's really not as tough as the rest of the guys, but he did manage to get the belt. I'm tired of that booking. You don't do that with Brock Lesnar. The champion is supposed to be the legit deal. You got to let him win, and you got to let him look strong as you're building him toward that one guy you're going to have doubts he's going to beat. I don't know what to say about this. I don't think it helped Drew McIntyre at all. Drew McIntyre needs to get lucky to win. That's, by the way, he needs to get lucky to win against a guy that Aleister Black beat, no problem. Twice. And Lana interferes for no reason at all. There's not a reason in the world for her to have walked down there. I thought maybe, okay, Lashley gets hurt, or it looks like he's hurt. Wouldn't that have been a good one where Lashley stumbles out of the ring, it looks like his knee is giving out or something, and MVP, instead of saying, get back in there, and Lana runs down and says, wait, he's hurt. Something. Give me a reason, a legitimate reason for Lana to come down there and jump up on a ring apron. You gave me zero reason, because there was a zero reason. Mike, another abject disaster.
Right. I mean, this was, in my mind, one, less than the title. Two, in my mind, this was only done to basically set up the fact that there's going to be a breakup between Lana and Lashley. That's all this was. I mean, really, if you think about it. I mean, we know that's where they're going, right?
So yeah.
This is the
absolutely. I'm like, I don't even know what to tell you about this. I wish, again, I'm telling you, I sat there after this pay-per-view, and there's more coming, obviously, but I sat there after this pay-per-view and said, where is this going? What are they attempting to do? Because whatever they're attempting to do, I don't get it. You've undermined every title you have so far. Every one of these title matches you have undermined. And I just, for the life of me, I just can't figure out why they would do it. Todd, what do you think?
Like you said, it's the undermined all the belts. We're not allowed to say belts. The championship belts.
Championships, yes.
And like you said, the MVP make matters worse. He didn't help Lashley get back in the ring. He just stood there to tell him get back in the ring.
The whole entire thing was predicated on the titles mean nothing. We're using the title holders to further a different angle. We're using Sasha and Bayley and the rest of the women's title division, tag team title division, to just further the storyline of Sasha and Bayley. We're using Andrade and Apollo Crews, and specifically Apollo Crews, to further Kevin Owens and Angel Garza. We're using The Miz and Morrison to further the future Fiend and Braun Strowman. And now we're using Drew McIntyre's title as a way to set up a feud or a breakup or whatever with MVP and Lana and Bobby Lashley. And I don't know what the hell they're doing with Asuka. Probably using it as a three-way for a Charlotte Flair and Nia Jax. So all these title matches meant nothing. The titles meant nothing tonight. Nothing. And so far, it's been a horrible pay-per-view. By the way, Bobby Lashley damn near killed Drew McIntyre on the outside of the ring when he just flat out dropped him. Picked him up and literally almost dropped him on his head. Luckily, Bobby Lashley is strong enough that when he saw he was dropping him, he made that extra little transition so he'd land on his side and back and not on his neck, but it came damn close. Damn close. So there's another botch. It's like these guys weren't even ready. And this is what happens when there's no audience. This is what happens when you say, oh, it doesn't matter. If we screw something up or we're not prepared, they'll just start over again. It doesn't really matter. There's no audience. So we're fine. I don't need to really bust my ass and study this match. If I forget something, I'll just, oh, sorry, forgot. Can you edit that out? But WWE too lazy to even edit out mistakes at this point. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But then this pay-per-view says, hold my beer. Because we're adding an extra match, the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders. And it's going to be a cinematic match where they're not going to fight in the ring. Oh, they're supposed to. But before it starts, they're backstage. And what follows, I can only describe to you as the Three Stooges meets Scooby-Doo meets the Cycle Ninjas and the Sea Monster. I don't even know where to begin with this. I don't even know what to tell you. All I can tell you is this. I'm all for comedy and wrestling. I'm not for this. These are your tag team champions. Okay? These aren't two schmuckatellis who can't get over and you say, well, we'll just use them for comedy. We'll do, it's, you know, it's our truth and the whole 24/7 thing. It's just comedy. These are your tag team champions. And what do you do with them? You put them in some goddamn Three Stooges Scooby-Doo Saturday morning cartoon thing. All that's missing is the music. I'm waiting for, like, Josie and the Pussycat music to start with la-da-da-da, and they're running around beating up the Cycle Ninjas. At one point, Montez Ford actually does the Three Stooges thing. He goes, woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo. I'm not lying. Tozawa shows up with a bunch of Cycle Ninjas, and they say, well, we're going to have to join forces and become the Viking Prophets. Because the Street Raiders don't sound better, right? The Viking Prophets sound better. And then they beat those guys up. And then a giant 7-foot guy, who's some performance center guy whose name I cannot pronounce, shows up. They all run away from him because, of course, they're scared. They're professional wrestlers. Two of them are Viking Raiders. And two of them are supposed to be streetwise tough guys. And they just, they run. They run away. And they run away on the top of WWE trucks like, again, like the Scooby-Doo gang, like Josie and the Pussycats. And they end up falling into a dumpster where there just happens to be a tentacle monster. Because, of course, there's a tentacle monster in a dumpster outside the WWE event. What the hell was this? You've destroyed both teams. Congratulations. Your tag team champions are a joke. They're an absolute abject joke. Your big, tough, brawling team of the Viking Raiders, who could have been top heels or perhaps top faces, are now a joke. And you've got a brand new comedy division because your 24/7 belt didn't work out. So now the new comedy division is the Raw Tag Team Champions. That's your comedy division. Maybe today they can fight a hooded figure who pops up behind whatever, and then they'll pull out the mask off him, and it'll be Vince McMahon. And he'll say, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those pesky Vikings. Maybe that's what's coming. I have no words for this. I mean, if you want to say, oh, it was kind of cute and funny, well, that's fine. Then go watch cute and funny stuff. I'm trying to watch professional wrestling. Does anybody remember what that is? Raise your hand if you remember what that is, because it's not this. How are you supposed to have a serious match now? Please tell me. How are you supposed to have a serious match with a guy who fell into a dumpster with a tentacle monster in it? Or who fought a bunch of ninjas on motorcycles that just showed up for no reason. I would have no idea why they would show up. I literally watched this with my jaw open and just said, I think wrestling is done. I literally think that professional wrestling as we know it is done. Because there is going to be X amount of people who say, wasn't that great? Wasn't that freaking cool? No, it wasn't. It was sophomoric. It was idiotic. It was foolish. It made a total mockery of what this business is supposed to be. And it ruined two teams who are actually pretty talented teams and you could have done quite a bit with. So this was the call, this was the nail in the coffin. I said that there's nothing that can happen that would pull this pay-per-view out of the shitter. Absolutely nothing after watching this could pull this pay-per-view out of the shitter. I can't even go, but for the people who didn't see it, I can't even go through all the sections. They went through a window and then they because of the blow to the head, they went back in time to their golf matches and their axe throwing matches and their bowling matches. And the thing that made me the most upset, maybe of all, and Todd will know this to be true because I think Todd was on hand when it happened. The bowling ball to the groin thing works if you really do it. I had a match where I really did it. Now, of course, you don't hit them full flush in the groin. It's the side of the leg, and there's a way to take it, and you put your hand down at the last. There's a way to do it and minimize the impact. But they didn't even bother doing that with this. They just had them roll the ball, cut the film, and then you just see the guy holding the ball because, oh, we don't even want to take the chance. So why bother even taking a chance with anything then? How about if you, well, I'm going to throw him out of the ring, cut, and then just show him laying on the outside of the ring because why take the chance of going over the top rope, right? Why take the chance of getting hurt at all with any wrestling move ever? So just cut away. Oh, I'm gonna do a suplex. But cut away, and I'll put you down, and then you just lay down and pretend you hit it, and we'll hit the mat. At what point are you actually gonna wrestle? At what point are you actually going to take chances? That's what wrestling's about, right? If you say, wow, these guys take some chances. These guys, you know, they have to be precise with what they do, or they could actually hurt somebody, and that's what makes them professionals, and that's what makes them good. If you take all that away and say, well, we'll just cut the tape, then any schmuck could do it. I could take a guy off the street and say, I'm going to throw a bowling ball, you lay down. I'm going to make it look like I'm throwing a bowling ball, and then we're going to cut. Then we're going to hand you the bowling ball. You hold it on your groin and make a weird face like I just hit you in the nuts with it. And we're professional wrestlers. You know, you don't have a day's worth of training. Who cares? Who cares? I don't want this out of professional wrestling. I'm telling you right now, I don't want it. Mike, this was, in my opinion, this was an abject disaster. And it was a real nail in the coffin of professional wrestling as we know it.
Right. And look, we talk about all the time, sometimes that, you know, we talk about how bad the WWE is, and we talk about, well, AEW says, well, you think that's bad, hold my beer. Well, the WWE keeps doing things like this. And AEW doesn't make any missteps. You know, then you're gonna see we also talk about the downfall of the WWE, and this is the kind of crap that leads to it. You know,
I agree with that, Mike. If this had been two teams that were never going to be in contention, two jabron teams, and they just said let's have some fun with them for like whatever reason, it still would have been really, really bad. But at least you could have said, well, I guess it's understandable. They might as well use them. They're not doing anything. These are your tag team champions and your number one contenders, Mike. And you've made fools out of them.
Right. And that's the thing. You've made fools out of them. And I'm so glad that the SmackDown tag team champions weren't there. You know?
Oh, man.
I mean.
Yeah, really.
I mean, think about it. Obviously, they didn't have room for them, but I'm so glad that they weren't there, because at least we know we're going to get with the New Day and, you know, and the rest of them. We know that at least with those guys, we're going to possibly get some serious matches out of it, you know?
Let's hope so, because after seeing that, Todd, I don't know what to say. I mean, if I want to watch the Three Stooges or Scooby-Doo, that's what I'll watch.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this was a big cluster effort there. And it was totally bad. It was just bad. I just, like, writer showing this.
It was embarrassing. If you put a non-wrestling fan in front of that screen, if you put a guy who's never watched wrestling before and says, you know, this wrestling thing, I guess it's kind of big. I want to see what you see in it. Show me a match, and you show him this. He's going to look at you and say, what the actual fuck are you watching? What is this? What kind of stupid, juvenile, fifth grade, crapola nonsense is this? And you're a grown man? And you're watching this bullshit? What the fuck is wrong with you? That's exactly what a non-wrestling fan would say. And I always base how good a match would be on what a non-wrestling fan would say if they were sitting next to me watching it. And that's what they'd say. Absolutely outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Sickeningly outrageous. You've ruined the tag team division of Raw. There's nothing you can do with them now. They cannot have a serious match with anyone ever, again, ever. I mean, it got so corny, it was when they all joined forces and literally said, we're going to have to join forces to fight off the evil ninja. I said, I just don't know what I'm watching. I don't even know what I'm watching anymore. Worse than I don't know what I'm watching, I don't know why I'm watching. And I'm not going to lie to you. If I was a professional wrestler and I was a champion, if I was a jabron, maybe I'd do whatever. But if I was the tag team champion and the number one contenders and you told me to do that, I'd say, no, that's okay. I'll just not be on the pay-per-view because I'm not doing it. I'm not ruining the rest of my career in some stupid fantasy crapola that you think is funny and you think is amusing and I think is a career killer for me. Now, before we get to the main event, I do want to mention one thing. Some news has come out, apparently, that another reason that AJ Styles moved is because he was furious at Paul Heyman. He apparently felt that Paul Heyman did not do enough to fight for Anderson and Gallows. Apparently, he had went to Paul Heyman and said to him, you know, if Anderson and Gallows leave or out of here, I'm destroyed. The whole character here is destroyed. There's nothing for me to do. And he felt Heyman didn't fight for him hard enough. That and, oh, guess what? His political beliefs didn't match that of the people in the dressing room, so he was often made fun of. Because that's really, that's fashionable. That's fashionable. Meanwhile, while these idiots are stumbling around fighting off ninjas and running away from giant ninjas and sea monsters, AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan are lighting it up over on SmackDown, making SmackDown far, 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 far superior to Raw. So let's get on to the final match. I thought we were in huge trouble because before the match, it was announced, because these two deserve the ultimate experience, we have highlighted audio and video and camera angles and everything to give you a real unique match experience. And I said, oh, Jesus Christ, what are they going to do now? Are they going to pipe in fake fans or what the hell are they going to do? Well, that's what they did. That's what they did. They went back in their archives and found a few, this is awesome chants. Found a few ohs and a few yays and a few whatevers and said, let's throw them in as if we're making a video game. And we'll mix that in, and then the rest of the Performance Center guys will have something to follow. When they hear this is awesome, they can chant it too. Terrible idea. Terrible, 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 terrible idea. Basically what they're saying is, hey, fans, we really don't need you. All we really need you for is to make noise, and we already got your noise. So to be honest with you, anytime we want to, we could make it look like you guys were cheering. So what they're basically saying is you could come and be quiet as church mice, and if we want it to sound like you guys are making noise, we still could do it. We're not relying on you to make noise. So if you think you're going to come sit on your hands, we can edit you right the fuck out. And we can make it look like you guys are cheering, which they've already done, by the way. I've done that plenty of times. I told you stories of actually going to TV tapings where they would lie to the audience. And they'd say, we're testing our sound on our cameras and our microphones. So we need you to cheer for a good minute as loud as you can. And then you cheer for a good minute as loud as you could, thinking they're testing the audio levels. Then they'd say, we need you to boo as loud as you can because it's a different decibel, different tone. And you'd boo. And they'd say, okay, thank you. Thank you very much. And then you'd go home and watch what you were there for a month worth of TV tapings. And you'd know that some guy came out and got no boos. None. And all you'd hear is boo, boo, boo. And you're like, well, where'd that come from? Oh, yeah, that's right. They just piped in what we did in the beginning because they saved it. WWE's done that forever. But they weren't that blatant about it. This time, they're just flat out telling you, we're going to make it sound like there's a crowd here because they deserve that. So I said, well, no one's ever going to be able to overcome this, so this match is going to totally suck. But it didn't. But it actually didn't. For once, Randy Orton didn't mail it in. And Edge lived up to the hype to an extent. They had a 40-some-odd minute match that actually told a story, a pretty good story. There was blood in a WWE match. Oh, my God. I think it was accidental, but it was still blood. There was a lot of false finishes. There was a lot of interesting little, oh, I'm using Triple H's move. I'm using The Rock's move. I'm using Christian's move, Eddie Guerrero's move. At the end, Randy Orton has to go back to the drawing board for that punt kick thing that he did, legend killer thing ages ago to finish Edge off after a low blow. And really, this, if all the matches had been this quality, you'd have had a really good pay-per-view. You didn't need the piped-in sound. As far as the camera angles, hey, if you want to continue with these type of camera angles, go ahead. You're not going to be able to continue with the one, because the one, I can guarantee you, the guy had to be in the ring. And if there's a live audience there, it don't look too good if the cameraman's right in the ring. But aside from that, everything was fine. Good overall match, but lightning has to strike the WWE, doesn't it? The wrestling gods had to say, ah, you want to make a sea monster come out of a garbage scow? Well, we're going to strike you down. And your great wrestling match, the match that really did live up to what wrestling fans should want to see out of their wrestling, Edge is injured for 6 to 8 months. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's almost like the wrestling gods are revolting and saying, okay, well, you want to start crap? We'll throw the dice and you're going to come up a loser. WWE can't win for losing. We have Elias out. We have now apparently Edge out. Jinder Mahal got re-injured. Who's next? You're one or two injuries away. Roman Reigns isn't coming around because he's afraid of the coronavirus still. You're one injury away from absolute disaster. If Drew McIntyre got injured last night and is out for 8 months, you're done. You're done. You've got nothing. Who's your champion going to be? You got nothing to fall back on. This is getting serious, WWE. It's getting damn serious. And you better do something about it quick, because what I saw last night was disgusting, except for that last match. The guys who are good and could put on a great match, you gave them 6 minutes and handcuffed them, made their belts irrelevant, made their matches irrelevant, used their position as champion to further a storyline involving non-champions, which means nothing, or flat out undermined them as not being as good as their challengers. You see what we saw out of Edge and Randy Orton last night? If Randy Orton was the WWE champion and that was a championship match, it meant something. Or if Edge was the champion and that's how Randy Orton won it, we'd be on this show today saying there was a match worthy of the title. There was a match that really sold the title as being important. But in the world of WWE, that's not what's important. What's important is that we put on the greatest wrestling match of all time, even though it's not for a belt, it's not for really anything. That's important, but the championships are not important, and you've got it ass backwards. All of these title matches I know can't go 45 minutes, but they all got to be fought with that kind of furor, because that's your champions. And your number one contenders. And if they can't pull off a possibly shorter, but at least as intense a match as that, you got no business handing them the belt to begin with. You hand the belt to the people who could do it. At this stage of the game, I never thought I'd hear myself say this. At this stage of the game, I wish Randy Orton was the champion. Because at least if he's going to do those, or Edge, because at least if they were going to do those type of things, you'd come out with a feeling that that belt means something. Randy Orton kicked out of all kinds of things because he wanted that belt. Edge kicked out of all kinds of things because he wanted that belt. Because that's how much being a champion means to them. That's what it's supposed to be. Instead, they do it for nothing except ego. And the champions, they don't do anything for their belt. It's eh. If I keep it, I keep it. If I don't, I don't. You've got it all screwed up. Mike, I don't know why they allow that kind of thing. What we saw last night with Edge and Randy Orton, that's championship quality match.
That is championship quality. What even makes it a match of the year candidate in my mind is because you pulled a performance out of Randy Orton that you seldomly can pull out of it. I mean, we've talked about Randy Orton before about how he wouldn't fit in NXT because he doesn't like to do those 20-minute matches or whatever. And he's kind of, I mean, and we talk about his laziness, that it's a different kind of laziness than Nia Jax. It's just if he doesn't have to do it, he doesn't do it, you know. But in this case, because he did it, that's what makes throwing away the piped in boos and cheers and stuff, throwing that outside. If you take it on his face, this match was a match of the year candidate.
It was a great match. Now, was it the greatest wrestling match ever? Of course it wasn't. But it was easily 10 times better than anything else on the show. Because it felt like they really wanted to win. And it felt like they were really fighting. Never one time in this match did I say, they're just hamming it up. They're just, you know, getting in their spots. No, there was literally, this felt like a fight for something important. And there was nothing important. See, that's the thing. These championship matches, I don't care if it's the Intercontinental or the U.S. or the tag team. I don't care what belt it is. All of these matches that are for belts need to be like this. It doesn't have to be 45 minutes. But they need to be fought with that intensity and that furor of, I'm pulling out all the stops because I'm the champion and I want to be the champion. Or I'm pulling out all the stops because I'm the top contender and I may never get another title shot. You have to make the match feel important. Only one match felt important last night, and it was for nothing except ego. Let that sink in. Their match was built on ego. Randy Orton saying, I'm challenging you to a wrestling match. And Edge saying, my ego's too big to say no. I don't have enough time back to do this match. So I'll say yes, even though I know I can't. I might not be able to pull it off. And then calling it the greatest wrestling match ever. So, well, now you've put the real pressure on us. It has to be a really 5-star match. And who could ever do this? Who could live up to this? It's all about ego. Oh, but ego's important. So they have to show 45 minutes of hard fought, whatever, determination and grit and whatever. But when it's for a belt, no, you don't have to show any of that. That's why your titles don't mean anything in the WWE. I want everybody listening to this show to imagine that we went back a few years and this is Edge versus Randy Orton. I don't care which one's the champion. It's for a belt. And you would say, well, that's very fitting of that belt because that elevated that belt. What it made it look like is these two guys are just about willing to kill each other and themselves to either hang on or obtain that belt. So that title is now elevated. Yes, correct. Now explain to me why you don't do that with any of your champions. Because you don't. It's all gimmick crapola. Double count outs and interference matches and let's just go through them. Apollo Crews, interference win. Bayley and Sasha got a win off somebody else's finisher. Gimmick. Braun Strowman, gimmick match. Drew McIntyre, interference win. Asuka, double count out. Nobody wins. Are you kidding me? Now, there's a conspiracy theory going around that they said, we're going to make this whole pay-per-view suck, so this match looks really, really good because we advertised it as the greatest match ever, and it's not going to be the greatest match ever, but in comparison to everything else, it'll look a million times better. I don't buy that conspiracy theory. Why would you piss in your Kool-Aid to make one of your Kool-Aid flavors to make the other one taste better? That doesn't make any sense to me. But these guys put on a match that is worthy of the championship. And the WWE needs to wake up and realize if you're going to hand that championship to Apollo Crews, then you've got to point to matches like that and say, this is what we want from you. And whoever's going to go up against them, whether it's Andrade or Angel Garza or Kevin Owens, whoever else it is, this is what we expect. Likewise, the women's championship. Likewise, the heavyweight championships. This is what we expect from you guys. We didn't get any of that last night. The championships look like a joke. You know what it looked like? A 20-year veteran and a guy who hasn't wrestled in 9 years out-wrestled every single friggin' one of you people by 50 times. That's what it looked like. And no, that's not what it looked like. That's what it was. Because your other tag team champions, they didn't even have a fight. They were too busy fighting off sea monsters and cycle ninjas. Yeah, that's great, right? There's a good representative for your title. What I saw at the end, that's the professional wrestling I want to see. I don't want to see this other garbage. I'm tired of it now. Finally, somebody brought it back. Finally, somebody said, this is the way wrestling's supposed to be. Now, did I want the piped-in, stupid-ass crowd noise? No. That was dumb. Don't do that anymore. As far as Howard Finkel announcing, I don't have any problem with that. That was a nice tribute. That was fine. But the effort these guys gave, and everybody knows I'm not a Randy Orton fan. But the effort these guys gave reminded me of what wrestling is supposed to be. This is what it's supposed to be. So if you're the guy who said, I like the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits, but Orton and Edge was disappointing, there's something mentally wrong with you. You don't like wrestling. I don't know what you want to watch, but you don't want to watch wrestling because that's wrestling. That's what wrestling is. This other crapola, that's not wrestling. That's just crapola. So, I mean, my hats are off to them, Todd. I think they did a fantastic job, and it was easily the best match of the night and probably the best actual real feeling of real wrestling that I used to enjoy in 5 years.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was more like an old-school feel in that match with Edge and Orton. And I agree with you. I don't like the sound effects where they had, like, the sound effects of the fans. But the microphone, the MSG microphone, and the voice of Howard Finkel, that was pretty cool. I like that. That was fine.
Cool
treatment. I didn't have a problem with that, but I just didn't like the sound effects of the fans, like making that like a background
noise. No, because if you're going to pump in artificial fans going, this is awesome, that's really kind of like, that. Not only is it cheesy, it's almost insulting. It really is. It's almost like, well, this is where you're supposed to chant this, and you would be if you were here. Yeah, please. So I didn't like that, Mike, but aside from that, I thought they lit it up.
They did light it up. And look, the thing is I guarantee you, if you put Oscar with anybody else but, I mean, if you even put Oscar with, I don't know, Natty, they would have lit it up, you know? I mean, think about it. I mean, there are people that there were better people, and I know what they're trying to do with Nia Jax. They're trying to make their contract that they have with her look good, because she hurts people, and she's cardiovascularly, you know, not good, and all this stuff, and she's very limited, and all that stuff. But we're paying her a lot of money, and she's The Rock's, you know, cousin. You know, so we have to do this with her. I don't get that.
I don't get it either, but I can tell you this. At least this is what I hope. My hope is that everyone in that dressing room took a look at Randy Orton and Edge and said, that's what I want to do. Can we get back to this? I don't want to fight off cycle ninjas. I don't want to have axe-throwing competitions. I don't want to throw, you know, three punches and I'm done. I want to go in and compete. And I want the championships to mean something, and I want the matches to mean something. And last night, they set the example. They said, this is it. This is what wrestling is supposed to be. Now, you either follow this example or you go back to your cartoon nonsense. Now, clearly, there's a good guy and a bad guy here. Clearly, Randy Orton is the bad guy. Clearly, Randy Orton is an evil person who literally put his hands on a woman. Edge's wife. And he ends the match by telling Edge, go home. Go home to your family. That's a real heel. It's not going too far and saying, oh my God, he brought out a guillotine and he was going to behead him, but people stopped him. You don't have to go that far. What Randy Orton did seemed real. It seemed like a sleazy move from a sleazy guy, but that's what he's supposed to be. So the more real it feels, the more you don't like Randy Orton, right? That's the point. So that felt okay. The rest of this does not work. Nia Jax didn't come off as a heel. How did she come off as a heel last night? What'd she do? Nothing. Bobby Lashley, what'd Bobby Lashley do? If anything, you feel sorry for Bobby Lashley. His wife cost him a title shot. I guess his best friend and his wife are not getting along. His career is going nowhere because of that. How is he the bad guy? Wouldn't that give you some sympathy for him and have you say, well, in a way, that poor dude, man, what's he going to do? His best friend and his wife hate each other. He's caught in between both of them. One's good for his career, but the other one obviously is the person he's supposed to love, and God, that's a terrible position to be in. Yeah. So how's that a bad guy? Where's the bad guy? This is what I'm trying to say. Last night, the end of that match, we can look at this one of two ways. We can look at this as Vince McMahon tied up all the loose ends of this Paul Heyman era and said, I'm not even going to bother trying to make sense of it. I'm just going to end this through, and it starts with Edge and Orton, the new era. If that's the message we're getting, then God bless. I'm looking forward to Raw tonight. If the message we're getting is, no, this is the best we're going to do. We're going to mix Orton and Edge with Street Profits and Viking Raiders and things like that, then this is a disaster. Because all you're really going to do is keep highlighting the fact that the rest of these people suck. And they don't suck. If you gave the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders 20 minutes and said, put on a match, they could put on a match that you're going to say, wow, these guys wanted the titles bad. One team wanted to keep it and one team wanted to win it. And the best team on that night came out. That's what we want from these title matches. Don't you understand? Three quarters of the way through the Randy Orton Edge match, I said, I wish one of them were the champion because, man, that belt would now feel so important as compared to what it is now. It's not Drew McIntyre's fault. He's doing what the hell he's told to do. It's not Bobby Lashley's fault. He's doing what the hell he's told to do. But you got to make their match feel as important as Edge and Orton. More important because it's for the belt. The title, the championship, whatever the hell you want to call it, doesn't matter. That is supposed to be the highest peak you can achieve in this business. And you're undermining them. And you're making everybody on the roster look better than the champions. Now I want to see Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre. Let's see if they can pull off that kind of a match. They probably can. Randy Orton went from a guy I wouldn't pay 15 cents to watch if he was across the street to, I'm interested now. If he's going to light it up like this, I'm interested because he might be the one person who can help bring this back. And I'm sorry that Edge is hurt because he could be another one. And I went into this not overly interested in either one of them. And by the way, most people made fun of their WrestleMania match and said, ah, the WrestleMania match was garbage. I didn't. I didn't think it was garbage. I thought it was good for what it was. A little overlong, but it was good for what it was. You making fun of them today? No, you're not. Because I told you, and everybody on this panel told you, these guys, all of these guys, 90% of them, not all of them, but 90% of the people, women or men, in that locker room can light it up just like that. Now the question is, why aren't you letting them? What makes you not want them to do their best when you're paying them to do their best? Don't get it. You're paying them because they're exceptional. And then you're telling them, don't be exceptional. Go out and be blasé. Go out and be average. Don't overdo. You got 8 minutes. Why? Why are you doing that? It makes no sense. I'd rather see 4 matches on Raw that look like that than 18 of them that look like crap. Mike, I just don't get it. I don't get why you'd hire people and then tell them be average or below average.
Again, 2 things here with this. One, it's almost as if they're booking them like they're paying them not to wrestle, which they have done before. And 2, I mean, you're right. If every match is even close to what we got out of this match, out of the Randy Orton match, I'd be happy. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, look, we kind of made a big deal of the Daniel Bryan AJ Styles match on SmackDown, saying, you know, well, why is this match not on a pay per view, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But they do that all the time. They do that all the time. They book these matches on SmackDown and Raw sometimes, and a lot of the time, and it's a better match than some of the matches that are on the pay-per-view. You cannot argue that match on SmackDown last week between those two guys was better than 3/4 of the matches that were on the pay-per-view last night.
Better than all of them, except for the last one. It was better than every one of them, except for the last one. Because they actually felt like they wanted to win that belt, that belt meant something. So let's go to the ratings really quick. Look, this pay-per-view was terrible. From start to finish, it was terrible, except for the last match. Start to finish, it was predictable, boring, mediocre, botch-filled, disastrous booking, stupid, lazy. I can't tell you how bad. It was literally a D-minus up until the last match. And the last match is an A match at minimum, and it might be an A-plus match. So overall, I'm going to give it a C because that's how much it brought up the grade, Mike. What's your rating?
You know what? I'm going to give it a little bit worse than that. I'm going to give it a C- because, yeah, without that match, it'd be an F, you know?
Damn close to it. I can tell you that. Damn close to it. Todd, what's your rating overall?
If it would have been an F, but I'm going to go with you on this one. I'm going to give it a C as well.
Look, folks, what we want to see is what we saw at the last match, but we want to see that be our champions, okay? We want to see our champions fight that hard because the championship means something, not just ego. Edge and Randy Orton fought for ego, and suddenly that's more important than the belt? I want to see championship matches of that quality. That's what I want to see, and I want it to start tonight, Vince McMahon. We'll be back here tomorrow to see if it did. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.